Good evening. Hope everyone's doing well. We are going to finish chapter 5 tonight in Daniel. And we're going to look at what Daniel has to say to King Belshazzar. And then we'll go from there. So if you would, Whitey, would you mind opening us up in prayer tonight? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Whitey. Okay, so remember what's going on here in chapter 5 so far. King Belshazzar, he is there in his great ballroom. And apparently at this point, Darius was outside with the Mede and Persian army. And they were laying siege to the city, but they were so confident that he's got his nobles and everybody in this ballroom. He's doing stuff. He's mocking God. And has the vessels that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought in, and they were drinking and toasting wine with those. And a hand appeared and wrote on the wall. Belshazzar, it scared him to death. Called all the people in, his wise men, his magicians in. Told them that if anybody could translate or interpret what was written on the wall, that he would put a purple robe on them, a gold necklace on them, and they would promote them to third in the kingdom. Remember, he couldn't say second in the kingdom because why? Because he was the second in the kingdom. His father was actually king. He was serving in place of the king, and some people believe that during this time, his father had already been captured by the Mede and Persian army. We know that he was put to death. His father was put to death by the Medes and Persians. So they believe that he's already in captivity. So the queen mother comes in and says, "You need to talk to Daniel." So he calls Daniel in, tells Daniel the same thing. And that's where we are now at this point. So he's asked Daniel to interpret the writing on the wall. So pick up in verse 17, and we're going to read through verse 23, and it says this. It says, "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Keep your gifts for yourself or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty and grandeur and glory and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar your father. Because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished to kill and whomever he wished to spare alive, and whomever he wished he elevated and whomever he wished he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed as from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind and his heart was made like that of a beast and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realms of mankind and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew these things, all of this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand, but the God in whose hands are your life breath, and all your ways you have not glorified. Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar had the second dream, the dream of the big tree that was cut down and the band of iron put around the stump? And he asked Daniel for the interpretation. Do you guys see a difference between Daniel's response to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel's response to Belshazzar? What does the Bible say? What does Scripture say that Daniel was troubled when he was asked to give, when King Nebuchadnezzar asked him to give the interpretation, that he was visibly upset? And he said, "It's you, O king, but please turn." He told him exactly what was going to happen. And he says, "But you can still break away and turn to righteousness." Here, his reaction is very different. He looks at him and he says, "Listen, this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And you knew all of this. And still you did this." You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You know the results of when he turned to God and glorified God and he was restored. You knew all of that. And now you're making a mockery out of the very God that holds, and he literally says this, "Hold your breath in his hands." You breathe another breath because God allows you to breathe another breath, but you will not glorify him. So I don't want to say Daniel is glad, but he's definitely not troubled about the news that he's about to give to Belshazzar, is he? He lays it out to him. He lays it out. "The breath of the creature should praise the Creator." Think about that. What does it say in the New Testament? That when Jesus, the priest and the Pharisees tell Jesus to tell his followers, his disciples, to be quiet and to stop praising him, what does he say to them? Huh? If they don't, the rocks will cry out. If they don't, the rocks will cry out. Creation sings. If you pay attention and you look, all of creation signals that there is a God in heaven. This time of year, what is happening around the landscape? You what? Things are blooming. I've watched for the last week these little lilies that are in the flower bed out here. Watching those green leaves come up. And then I saw those little spikes come up and it had the little buds on them. And those little buds started getting a little yellow tint to them. And now it's full, just in a matter of days, full of yellow lily flowers. It's not going to be long before these big red lilies that are all over the church, I don't know what you call them, but they're huge, are going to be blooming. And Lord have mercy, those horrible Bradford pears are blooming all over the place. Oh my Lord, I've got three of them. I was hoping it was a dogwood, but they're not blooming yet. But it's the Bradford pears, and I'm going to have to take my chainsaw and go cut those things down now that I can tell where they're at. But everything's blooming. Everything is redoing. The oak trees are starting to get the buds and leaves are starting to come out on them and everything. The other day I came outside and there was a robin there by my truck on the ground. All the birds are coming back. Everything proves that there is a creator that set things in motion. But here Belshazzar will not acknowledge him. So look at verses 24 through 28. Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now this is what the inscription that was written out. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and Persians. Each one of these words stand for a short phrase. You know, mene signifies numeration, that you've been counted. Tekel means weighing. And Perez means division. God had Belshazzar's number and it fell short. God weighed Belshazzar and he came up light, and God would therefore divide Belshazzar's kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. Now you think about Nebuchadnezzar's first dream of the statue and the gold head, and what did Daniel tell him that meant? What did God reveal through that dream? That there would be kingdoms that came after his, but they would not match the majesty and the power of his kingdom. So we're going to see later in Daniel how even the Mede and Persian empires, the controllers of Babylon, they divided up this kingdom to make it easier to rule. Think about this. The ancient Greek historian Herodotus relates that the Persian king Cyrus conquered Babylon by diverting the flow of the Euphrates River into a nearby swamp. This lowered the level of the river, so his troops marched through the water and under the river gates. They still would have not been able to get into the city except that the bronze gates on the inner wall was inadvertently left unlocked. That's how arrogant these people were, how arrogant they had become. They locked the outdoor gate on the outer wall, but didn't think anybody could get through that outer wall, so they didn't bother locking the inner wall. And that is exactly what God predicted in Isaiah 44, 28 through 45, 7, and Jeremiah 51, 57, and 58. Now, I have Jeremiah here, but look at what it says. It says, I will make your princess and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed, and her high gates will set on fire, so the people will not toil for nothing, and the nations become exhausted only by fire. Motyer, in his commentary on Isaiah, wrote, in October 539 BC, how he knew that was October, I don't know, because the months were different. Cyrus advanced into Lower Mesopotamia and, leaving Babylon till last, conquered and occupied their surrounding territory. Seeing which way the wind was blowing, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, this is Belshazzar's father, deserted his city, leaving it in charge of his son Belshazzar. The taking of Babylon was as bloodless and effortless as Daniel 5 implies. I look at verse 29. Then Belshazzar gave orders. They clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. Regardless of how poor an example or how poor a leader Belshazzar was, how arrogant he was, he still kept his word, didn't he? And Daniel enjoyed being the third man in the kingdom for just a matter of hours. But, foreshadowing here, God advanced him quickly in the new kingdom as well. Though the words were harsh, Daniel was quickly rewarded. And then look at verses 30 through 31. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. Everything that Daniel said literally happened within a matter of hours. It didn't take long. In fact, I have heard it said that while Daniel was reading the inscription and telling Belshazzar what the hand of God wrote on the wall, that at that exact time, the army of the Medes and Persians were walking through the waterway into the city. That is similar to God's timing when He asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, isn't it? Said, all the way up the mountain, Isaac kept asking his dad, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? What was his answer? God will provide. God will provide. And when was it that God said stop? Was it when He built the altar? Was it when He piled the wood on? He had Isaac bound, laying on top of that wood, the knife in the air, and it wasn't until he started to come down that God said, stop. do not harm the boy. And he heard a sound. He turned around and there was a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. God provided the sacrifice. My dad always said that the moment that Abraham and Isaac started up the one side of the mountain, God started that ram up the other side, and they got there right at the right time, right when God wanted them to. This timing was not a coincidence. It was not by accident. All of this happened in God's timing. And I do believe that as Daniel was delivering this message to Belshazzar, we already know the army was surrounding the city. It didn't happen overnight that they diverted the water either. But I have no doubt in my mind that as Daniel was talking to Belshazzar, that those armies are marching into the city. And the only record that we have of anyone dying, we don't know. You think about Gideon. When he was there in the Moabites that were out there? Is that who Gideon fought? They were encamped. It said they looked like locusts on a field. They were just so many of them. And when they blew those horns and shattered those pots and showed those torches and shouted, what does the Bible say? How did the majority of the people down there, that army, how did they die? Did they die at the hands of Gideon and his army? They started killing each other. But here, the only death that's recorded here is Belshazzar. They were probably so confident that his army that was there in Babylon were probably passed out drunk. You think about this. If the commanders are having a party and they're getting drunk, what do you think the soldiers are going to do? The same thing. The same thing. But Darius received the kingdom. Now, I will tell you this. We'll find out more about this next week with chapter 6. But there is no record in historical documents of anyone named Darius. And there's a couple of different things that is a possibility. This could be a name of honor given to somebody like Caesar. Possibility, which is less likely, that this is actually a name that Cyrus went by. But the fact that we've got two different people, we've got Darius and then we've got Cyrus. Very unlikely that that's the case. More than likely, this is a conquered king that has been given this title as an honor. And that's what he goes by, and that's what he's known by now after being conquered by Cyrus and the army. It says that right there, that Darius was a sub-king under Cyrus the Persian. So this is one of the Medes kings that was conquered, and he was a sub-king. But there's the guy's name, Gabaru, is who it most likely is. And that Darius is an honorary title or honorary name given to him. But chapter 6, as a kid, this is one of my favorite stories growing up. take a wild guess what's happening. Do what? Daniel in the lion's den. Come on, people. I mean, that's, I still have pictures in my head when I think about that, of Daniel laying there and using a big old male lion as a pillow. I always wanted to do that. I wouldn't recommend it, though. But I've always been fascinated by lions because of that story. Any questions or comments about the end of chapter 5? I will tell you this, that the inscription, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, that is not Hebrew. It is Aramaic. I did look it up. In the Hebrew lexicon, and it does say that the words are Aramaic, which is strange that he wouldn't be able to read it. Yeah. So, I mean, it could have been just the words that Daniel told him. I don't know. But I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that God hid something, blinded somebody's eyes to seeing something that was so evident at the same time. I mean, you think about it. I mean, he all through history, he did it. I still laugh every time I think about Balaam and his donkey. God blinded Balaam's eyes, but he opened the donkey's mouth to talk to Balaam. So any other questions or comments before we go to our time of prayer? Okay. Well, I'm going to ask, would you mind closing our Bible study time in prayer? Okay. Tara's going to lead us in prayer. Amen. Thank you.